Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East, and Sherlock Holmes is back in the studio. Chris Howard finally joins us. Let me tell you, we need a good Sherlock because there are many questions that we need to get to the bottom of tonight. The fallout is right here for the next 60 minutes. We're going to be talking all about that game with Sheffield United on the weekend. And of course, Eddie Nketiah is staying. What are we making of that? We maybe may talk about referees, VAR. I mean, Chris seems very happy from the weekend. I'm sure maybe it might crop up from time to time. Who knows? Then we'll look towards the game with Chelsea, the massive clash, obviously, tomorrow night at Stamford Bridge. And then the FA Cup, which sees Arsenal play again on a Monday night, this time travelling to Bournemouth. So a packed show. And as always, you can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Well, it was Sheffield United on the weekend. Obviously, a disappointing result earlier in the season. Chris, that was the first time I did the Arsenal show. I saw Chris cry through two windows and he just walked out very, very lost and lonely. Wasn't to be, but much has changed since then. Unfortunately, not much in terms of results. We didn't get the 3 points. We were very confident last week, Charlie, but it just wasn't to be this weekend.
You know what? It's one of those games on Saturday. I didn't come out annoyed. I didn't come out... I was a bit gutted. Well, I think that changes.
Disappointed
to the fact that you've got to be burying teams when you go 1-0 up. I mean, Sheffield United started off really well. First 10 minutes, they put a bit of pressure on it, and we knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. We knew that. We had a lot of injuries at the minute. We knew that was going to happen. I thought we dealt with them quite well. They didn't have loads of chances like previous clubs have had before. That's one thing Arteta has done. All the shots against we had with Emery, everyone kept bringing up. 25 shots, what all these sorts of shots.
32 shots faced, 4 were on target. Let's be serious.
I know, it's a horrible stat I hate.
Yeah.
But something that has happened.
It's the only stat that works when you play your mate at Fever. It's like, mate, I beat you, I had 47 shots.
It's
mate, you lost 2-1, don't worry about it.
Yeah. But we're not getting them stats because people are not having as many chances against us now. Mm. So he's obviously doing something right. I personally think that's Torreira and Xhaka sitting where they are. Mm. I know he gets it. But I just think, come out of that ground, I was gutted. I thought we deserve more than a draw. And I think we're trying. And I think there's a Palace last week. I thought we deserve more than a draw. And we'd like a bit of a draw, especially at the moment. I mean, I've got to look positive.
It's killing us.
2020,
isn't it?
We are still unbeaten. That's the positive.
Well, the downside is 11 draws this season.
I think
what you're saying about about what Arteta's done to make Arsenal a bit more compact is working. Yep. I think the way in which we operate with the ball and without the ball is quite important as well, because we flick from certain formations and the structure changes of the team depending on how we've got the ball and how we haven't, whereas it just didn't seem like under Emery that we had that kind of structure. I mean, I was convinced we were going to win the game this weekend. I thought this is it, lads, you know, Arteta's up and running now, but Sheffield United are a decent team. I don't think they're a great team. There's a lot of people saying, oh, they're so good. No, they're an organised team. They're not fantastic. Let's be honest, they didn't really create too many chances against us. And the goal that they got against us was a deflected. I'm getting sick of deflected goals. I've got to be honest with you. It doesn't feel like we're getting the rub of the green at the moment. It feels like little things like that are just coming against us. And we can talk about VAR maybe after the break and stuff, but little things like that aren't going against us. But I have some sympathy with Arteta as well, because he's trying to affect change in a team that is decimated by injuries.
No,
we've got so many players out, and everyone talks about Man City and how important Man City's fullbacks are on their play. Arteta, he hasn't even had a fullback to look at, really. He's had a half-fit Kolasinac at best.
I think that's something we've definitely got to look at, and I can't see Hector Bellerin ever getting the form back that he's going to have.
It's really fitness as well. It's not so much form, it's fitness.
Yeah, it's fitness. He's been out for so long now, and I think we need to be looking at a new right back. Matt Niles, to be fair, since Arteta come in, I think he's done an excellent job, personally, and I'm happy to keep him as a backup, or so to speak, but we have to buy a proven right back in the summer, 100%. I think that's got to be a priority. Centre-half, left-back, I mean, there's been a lot of rumours about this Kozawa from Paris Saint-Germain. I've seen people moaning about it and so on. I think getting him on a free as a backup to Tierney, get Tierney fit as a backup to Tierney on a free transfer, and you've got Saka at Kentucky in there as well, who's been excellent.
Yeah.
And sell Kolasinac, maybe you might get you 25, 30 million to
for
invest.
No way. I think you're not going to get 20. No one's paying 25 million for him, Charlie. No, not in a million so. Years.
In this day and age, you're going to you could get 20 mil. You're going to get something with him. He's 26, 27 years old. He's in his prime. He's an Arsenal footballer. I think you'll get some sort of money like that.
You have to remember what they signed him for. Yeah, I know. He's great fishing for 15%, is Charlie. When we're talking about the team, we're obviously reflecting on the team. We're saying 11 draws. It's also 6 wins in 23 league games. Obviously, highlights just one of a number of problems. But why is it when Charlie said there, he came out from the ground on the weekend, you know, a little bit disappointed, wasn't even angry. But why is it every week, whoever it is, if it's you, Chris, or Seager or myself, we go, this is the week. Like, we all said it last week. Yeah. We went, we'll put Sheffield United away. We're at home. We've got Arteta. We're feeling great. But we've done this before against many opponents this season. Go, we'll get back to it this week. Yeah, 3-1, 4-1. And then we just see this a similar. I know it was a better performance, but we're still not seeing this bounce back of our own, Chris.
I think it's because we can see there's mitigating circumstances. Like we said, like the deflections, you know, those things happen. Sometimes that does happen, sometimes it doesn't. It just feels like, particularly the one against Palace last week, felt to me like that's one that could just bobble wide, and all of a sudden Palace had no real other opportunities, and we see that game out. You know, instances that every week, every game we seem to play, there is one key instance that happens. I think at the weekend,
but can we blame
not
that?
Getting
can
that
we
penalty,
blame that,
which
though,
was a stonewall penalty?
Well, I think you can. I think you go 2-0 up there.
Yeah, exactly. So you go 2-0 up there, and the game's finished. All right, let's just say that Aubameyang is a few seconds earlier in his challenge and doesn't get sent off against Palace. There's no way they get back.
No,
let's just say we were in the ascendancy in that game. If that ball bobbles wide, you know, little things are just not falling for us.
They
the
aren't falling, but
and
we don't want to be one of those fans, massive. Chris, where,
yeah, but,
you know, like other teams, when
yeah,
they go,
Charlie
oh, it's
well.
This, it's this. You know what we say about other fans, Spurs
right.
fans, Liverpool
okay.
fans, we go,
okay.
oh, well, if you know, if we would have had one more point, we would have won the league.
Right.
You didn't get one more
oh,
point.
No.
Okay, let me.
We
let
can't
me,
become that.
Let me reel off some names with you as well. Tierney, Bellerin, Kolasinac, Socrates, Nelson, Aubameyang, suspended, Chambers, holding, not quite fit. 1, 2, 3,
Ceballos.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Ceballos
is potentially not fit as well. That's 9 players. Any, if you take Chelsea, if you take Man United, if you take Tottenham, if you take Sheffield United, Wolves, any of the teams that are in the top 10, and you remove that number of first-team squad players, they're going to struggle. So I just think we're a bit unfortunate with the injury. I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
We're very unfortunate, but why do we think, is the team, I don't want to say worse than what we all think as a collective, but you know every week we go, we'll get the win, and we don't. Do we all need a reflection on ourselves a little bit in that sense, Charlie?
I don't think we haven't been very good for years. I think Arsenal fans put themselves on a pedestal. We think we're better than we are.
But we all do. We thought we was winning last week.
I have arguments with friends and they still think we're that team that should be pushing for Champions League football. I mean, that we should be in Champions League. That should be God-given right for us. We are not that team anymore. The Premier League has evolved all that time. Since we had Arsenal being last year.
But that hurts even to hear you say that, let alone for me to say
it. But we have fallen back so much from them last Wenger years and Gazidis involved in the club. We've gone so far back above everyone else. The Premier League has evolved massively. You've got teams like Wolves, Leicester, Sheffield United. They're all spending big money now.
They didn't outspend us in the summer, though, did they? Because we spent none of these teams have outspent us. Though.
I know
so
you
Arsenal
say that,
have
Pepe,
had the money spent.
We spent 40 million on Pepe cash this summer. That's not a lot of money.
No,
it's a bias. We got on a loan,
but we did
David
spend
Luiz,
the money.
Million.
There was some investment. Well, I think you've got
Tierney.
You've got the point.
Well.
Yeah, but that's a big time for the future. Well, we should be spending 150 million on a football club.
Where you're right is the way in which the money is spent and the people that are spending it. And I think a lot of people have all of a sudden, particularly when it started to go south with Emery, a lot of fans started to look at Senyehi and the footballing structure and say, something's not right here. If they're not really delivering, if they can't make the decision. Imagine if they'd have taken the correct decision over the international break and then gone straight for Arteta instead of waiting a month. Maybe we'd have had a lot more, a run of easier games for in which also he didn't have players injured, we might have a few more points on the board.
I've got to the point now, which is quite sad. I've written off the league. I really have. I generally have.
100%.
I'm thinking to myself now, as a football fan, I still want some sort of success. You went to 4 competitions a year. Let's go all out and try and win the FA Cup and all our eggs into the Europa League basket. Because ultimately, I don't care if we finish outside that European spot. I don't know if we're happening this year. Couldn't care less. I think, if anything, it would probably do us a favour. Look at your Chelsea drop.
Well, not financially.
Not financially. Well, how much money do you and really get for
I think it's 40 to £50 million. Really, I mean, you have to check out someone like Swiss Ramble. Excellent. Kieran is a great...
Maguire.
Blog and
you're right,
some of the stuff that he does.
But
there.
I'm just saying as a...
I'm sure it's fitness. About 40 to £50 million, well, though, and that sort of money is the money that we need. And but I'm talking, that's if you go deep into the competition, which we should really, Europa League. We should
I'm
be going
at that
deep
Europa
into that
League at the minute. I'm looking at the teams in there. Inter look on fire. Mm. I wouldn't want to fancy coming up against them.
Top Serie A.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lukaku, Sanchez just come back. That's written in the stars, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe Eriksen. They've just signed, you know, world beater Ashley Young.
Eriksen.
Fearsome.
These players but I know what it's like. Last minute, and then Ejiri Ashley Young top corner, you know.
Don't worry, lads. None of those players will be able to play because they've all played for their current clubs in European football.
No, that don't count no more. That's gone, that rule.
Mm. What from last season? Because that's what we had with Aubameyang.
That's gone.
Yeah, that's
crazy, ain't
that's
it?
Gone. That has nothing. Off the
Craig, we need to put another segment in. Chris is fuming about that. Chris, I thought you were Sherlock Holmes, mate. Don't let me dub you a name and you ain't done your homework. He's got all these VAR notes have gone out the window. Unbelievable. He wants to talk about this. let's quickly start this then, because obviously you mentioned it, that the penalty on the weekend with Pepe, and I know there was a table, it was viral, it was going around social media that if the referee's decisions that have cost us and actually didn't happen, we would be nine points better off, I think it was. And after a while, you know, it is a little bit swings and roundabouts, and we don't want to say like we're upset and broken fans, but these sort of things do matter and they do come to fruition,
there's
don't they?
There's two that stand out to me massively, and the one I'm going to mention now has put us in the stead we was. The Crystal Palace one, which Socrates scored the goal and Chambers got penalised for the foul. There was actually a foul.
He got fouled.
It was a foul on him, right? We'd have won that day. We'd have gone 3-2 up. We'd have won, okay? After that, we had Sheffield United.
But Unai Wolves. Might have stayed.
No, but what I'm saying is, that was the turning point, because it was the thing with the Xhaka thing, and that's the season went downhill for them. And then we went sacked.
Football is about momentum. Yeah. And if you look at Leicester have ridden the crest of a confidence wave, and that's why they are on 45 points right now. And Sheffield United, to an extent, have ridden the crest of that.
Leicester
have
a little bit of a
If Sheffield United at the beginning of the season had lost four or five games in a row, they wouldn't be in the same position. Everyone's talking about how organised they are, etc., etc. Confidence affects team massively, and it went the other way with us.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you need things to go your way, if they do go your way, that can make a big bit of difference. And I just think it hasn't happened. And like you, to your point there, Charlie, you beat Crystal Palace, you go into the next game on a high. You know, if Socrates gets what was a clear shirt pull at Bramall Lane on him, that was at 0-0. If we go up, maybe the game changes. You don't know. Football, big moments make key pivotal parts in any season, and we've not had that, and we had another incident of it the weekend.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting one. Obviously, Charlie talking about the Pepe penalty, Stonewall, but obviously VAR didn't think it was because they said it wasn't a penalty, and the social media and the fans at home have been split. What do you make of it? And stay around, because Chris has got some hot takes to take on it, that's for sure. Love Sport. You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie East, and Sherlock Holmes himself, Chris Howard. Well, we're going to need him now because there is a mystery and a riddle to be solved, and you can have your say. What are you making of it? Because obviously we were speaking about Arsenal could be 9 points better off if the decisions went the way, the decisions actually that should have gone their way, but they didn't for some reason or another. Who knows? Referee bias, you know, they're what my words. Yep. I said it. Let's get into it. Chris, let's start with you then. Because I know you, it's not just necessarily VAR and everything, it's the consistency for you.
Yeah. I think first and foremost, it's important to point out, this is the kind of the caveat here, this isn't an Arsenal conspiracy. I'm not going to start crying foul because it's Arsenal and there's an anti-Arsenal agenda. I don't think there is. What I do think that we have currently with the system that we have in place in this country, because it's been proven to work at the World Cup, and I've seen in the Australian League, I've seen a couple of video examples where they seem to be doing it properly. What I believe we have in this country is unelected, ill-qualified and frankly ignorant referees and a refereeing system by the PGMOL, which is run by one of the most notoriously terrible referees in Mike Riley.
When you have
an individual at the top of an entity, of an organisation, which has so consistently underperformed over many years, and he is the figurehead of that, then it all bleeds itself down. It all sort of permeates through. We have some really poor referee. The standard of referees in the country is poor, and the decision making is poor, and it's not consistent as well.
I totally, totally agree, and I just don't see the logic. How can you have anything? I mean, Charlie, we're big NFL fans, and they've been doing that for years, and it works well. I think
it works. I agree.
How
yeah.
can you have anything going on where a referee makes a decision, and you've got someone 300 miles away, not even in the stadium, responsible for something that's going on that pitch with 60,000 people around there, referee, players, so much involved. How can someone completely far away be deciding that? Because the fact, I know you're watching it on telly, but you're not involved in the game. I know that's like, it's, I get the VAR. I do get it, and there's so much money on the line. I understand why clubs want it, because you want the right decision. But you should not be having someone miles away at Stockley Park controlling that decision. Granted, like the same deal in the NFL.
But NFL does work like that. They refer to New York.
Yeah, I know.
The office is in New York.
Yeah, but the decision happens. But ultimately, the referee will look at himself.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So I understand on Saturday that Mike Roy doesn't see that. Okay.
Mike Dean. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, Mike Dean.
I'm blaming Mike Riley.
So Mike Dean doesn't see that on Saturday, which is fair enough. May have missed it. And they did look at it, but that should be really. They look at it and they go, Mike, go and have a look at it. See what you think. Okay? And then he goes over to the screen, and if he then sees it again and he decides, no, I'm standing by my decision, I'm right with that. Or he might go, you know what? I have made a rip there. I'm going to change it. No one in the ground would really have the ump with stuff. If the referee's going over there to look at himself, which I've done at the World Cup, which I thought worked well, the Women's World Cup as well, worked well, then no one really is going to think, all right, fair enough, he's seen it, he's had another look at it, still don't fancy it, fair enough. But so for him not even to see it again, and then just listen to someone in there who's got no involvement in the game, he's wrong. It's farcical.
People have said, well, if you want consistency, VAR is the very epitome of it, because that's where you're getting the toes offside and the armpits offside. Well, I'm sorry, that's not correct, because I can point out some examples now. These are Arsenal examples, because I'm an Arsenal fan. I watch Arsenal more than anything else. But I can guarantee that most other fans will be able to use examples. Craig Pawson against Jorginho. Okay. If he doesn't see it, or he doesn't think that's a yellow card, someone just needs to have a word in his ear. But the person that was in Stockley Park most likely would have been a Mike Dean or a similar other referee. So this is the problem. We have a bank of referees who just rotate, and they're all just as poor as each other. Wilfried Zaha against Arsenal at the Emirates. Very, very minimal contact.
I thought it was a penalty.
In fact, it was... Well, this is the thing.
But it's exactly the same as Pepe.
Exactly. That was going to be my point. You either say... He's gone down, he's exaggerated contact, no penalty. And if you're going to do that, absolutely fine. Then you say, Nicolas Pepe has gone down with minimal contact, no penalty. But you cannot have one week, this guy is going down with minimal contact and he is getting a penalty. And the next week, this guy is going down with an almost exactly situation and he's not getting a penalty. I don't know the guy's first name, but the chap McLean, who was Norwich, on Guendouzi, when we played them at Carrow Road, it was a poor tackle. He gets a yellow card. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang last weekend, another poor tackle. I don't know an Arsenal fan that didn't say it was a red card. However, why are we getting one instance where the referee is saying that's perfectly fine, that's a yellow, and another instance which is almost identical and saying no, that's fine? And I think it was you saying as well, Andy Robertson as well.
But in defence, obviously,
this isn't an Arsenal thing. I need to stress this. I'm making it an Arsenal thing because that's I watch Arsenal most of the time.
No, I agree. And you said every club can say it. Another farcical one I see, really, which in the laws of physics doesn't work out. The goal where Wolves scored against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, the guy received the ball, he was in front of the defender. So he's backing into the defender. Because the way he set his foot was minimal to the left of the defender's
that
foot.
That was madness.
How can you be backing into a centre-half and be offside? Joke.
That was great. But what about the... Because there is other ones where it was kind of similar. Obviously, Norwich on the weekend, Godfrey, terrible challenge on Wilson. It was a yellow card.
They looked at the screen. Yeah, but so that made it right.
Yes, but he went back and it was the same as Aubameyang. He went back and he changed it to a red because that was a horrific challenge. Yeah. So I know that's only one instance where we're seeing a bit of consistency, but the argument for you is the consistency, isn't it, Chris?
100%. And we need to do something. So The Crystal Palace Arsenal game at the Emirates, we had a guy who'd never ref a Premier League game in his life, and it felt like it, the one in Stockley Park, and it felt like it. So you've got that one end of the spectrum. And then we've got the likes of Craig Pawson or Mike Dean, who are also then the officials. And it's almost like it's a little club. They've all got to look after each other. And that's the most infuriating thing. It's, you know, have your rules in place, but we need to have a proper system in place, because what we were told at the beginning of the season is that the Premier League looked very, very closely at VAR. They spent all summer deliberating how they should go about enforcing it. And what they essentially did was take the good work of the World Cup from a few years ago, the Women's World Cup, and throw it out and say, no, we're just going to rely on the bloke in Stockley Park, instead of doing it the way every other institution, every other football tournament has done it. It's baffling.
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to be two incidences. This one, we're playing a different VAR to the one that Europe's playing in the top European leagues, and then we come to the Champions League, Europa League. What rules do we adhere to? We're not playing a universal VAR system. That's a worry in itself. Secondly, not that these debates will become sort of old hat, but next year I think VAR will be totally different. They would have had this year under their belt, this season. They work on it next off season. And not that this argument goes away, because we want to see results now, Chris, but I think next year it will look drastically different.
You have to hope so. That's the only hope that I have.
I think they've been, you know what I think is? I think they've gone, look, we've made all these ricks, as you said. I really believe that they've all gone, We got to carry on making mistakes now, just so people can go, it's so inconsistent, or it's consistently inconsistent, that we just go, we're right this year off, and we'll stay the course now. Because they can't change it now.
Well, how about this for an idea? Tell me what you think. Okay?
No. So, what,
as you just said, regarding, it's like a referees club. So if you've got Mike Dean, Craig Paulson, and so on, ultimately, they're all referees, all respect each other, they're all referees. They don't want to really be making him look like a fool.
100%. Okay? That's it.
So why don't you have, there must be somewhere out there, get people, ex-footballers, people who know the game. Like people, and I'm sure there'd be
a mixture. Why don't you have three people at Stockley Park, a footballer? You can have a ref, and then something else.
You can have that, and make a decision. Then you've got three.
That's quite a quiet. A fan, an ex-pro, and a ref on the panel. No, but then and we watch it like Gogglebox.
Then you argue yes and no. Yeah. You've got people to.
Well, then the consensus, person, two
no,
versus one.
No, but then it'll be like boxing, it'll be like exactly, corruption. Exactly. It'll be like
one
two
person,
people have got.
One person is responsible. An ex-player, ex-person who knows the game.
Still subjective.
But they're not making no decision. They're not making no decision. All they're doing is saying, ref, have a look at it yourself and see what you think. So you're not putting nothing in there where you're saying, have a look at it again. Then a referee can look at it properly himself, like he done at the World Cup, like he did at the Women's World Cup, like he does in Europe. And he looks at it himself and he decides then if he made a mistake, if he goes with it or not against it.
Well, actually, the great man Arsene Wenger is at FIFA now, and he said he's a big believer and he's going to be fighting for them to look at the screen more. The ref should be going off using that off-pitch monitor. But I think you've hit the nail on the head, Charlie, in the sense that the refs, it is a bit of an old boys club, and you know, we never hear from the refs after the game. Never hear from them, you know. Managers can't say anything about refs' mistakes, and no one ref would ever go, and you know, even if they're not mates, they're all from the same uniform, they're all from the same club, go, he's got that wrong there. And we're never allowed to do that. Managers can go, wrong team selection, didn't play today, but we can't say a bad word about the refs. They don't even
they're
come out
protected.
They need to come out and go, this is why I saw it, for me it weren't a penalty, this is how it goes in the handbook, da 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 da, and we go, I don't agree with y'all, but if that's how you're seeing it, I can't
believe it. You hear all other radio stations on Sky and so forth, you see Dermot Leary, Dermot Gallagher, Mark Halsey,
but retired, it's always the retired ones, because
but
now they
but
don't
the
can
the good thing about it is you hear them explain decision, you
100%.
Go, oh, it makes sense now. You understand it. You're not like, and you can understand it. And all people will say, always their argument is, it's not the referees, it's not the VAR's fault. They are the rules. People don't know the rules.
Yeah, I mean,
VAR's just enforcing the rules already there.
For me, again, I've watched a couple of these Australian soccer league games, and the referees are very transparent. You can hear them on the monitor.
I love that. In other sports,
like,
NFL,
can
I
just get a check? Can I just get a check here? Okay, fine. I'm going to go over to the monitor, have a look. Yeah, it looks to me like he's done this. Right, okay. right, I'm going to send him off.
And
brilliant.
People would have no argument with that.
And you know what else I think that would add? We're all about, you know, because this is packaged all for TV now. It's all a spectacle. It's all entertainment. I think it adds to it because, you're with your mates, you're watching it, you go, hang on, and they go, we just want to check this. This is for this. This is what we're looking into. You go, oh, what's that about? They do it in the NFL. This is what we want. We want to be kept in a loop. And everyone's saying, what is this all about?
This is Mike Riley's PGMOL, though. This is what I think. It's protectionism.
Mike Riley's an idiot.
It is protectionism of a gentleman's club, of a collective of referees who are, as I said earlier, they're unelected, they're ill-qualified, and they're an ignorant collective of people. And I don't think that they deliberately try to make these mistakes, but I think because the system isn't managed properly, they are the ones that end up being the butt of the joke, so to speak.
You know, the worst with me as a match-going fan, I go every game virtually, when a goal goes in, you don't
celebrate.
I hate it when you don't even see the players celebrating. You know, like, you've seen some big goals over the last few weeks, getting their teams back into it 1-1, celebrating.
It's just so
robbed of that moment. And everyone goes, oh, it's more euphoria than when it's confirmed.
No, it's not.
We've got Palace fans chanting VAR's embarrassing. When it works for them, celebrating. I mean, I know, look, this isn't Palace fans. All sports fans are fickle, but this is where we're at.
I know. Even you see a goal on telly now, I think, oh no, that's going to be us, can we call back? You don't, it's just take all the emotion.
You see
out
a 40-yard screen, you go, wait, was he? He was texting.
I was.
Martinelli's goal on Saturday. Yeah. I was adamant it was going to be offside. I was adamant.
That was sort of sitting in a different seat at the weekend, and it was right in front of me. And even I just paused as it hit the net, looked at the linesman. Linesman hadn't put his flag up. I sort of half celebrated. And then it took a few seconds to register that they were just walking away.
And every time you let in a goal, the players go over to the ref, make sure you check that. Mm. They always look like, and he always goes, yep, listening. I'll put my head to me here, by the way.
Every goal is reviewed. You get the old Shiraz, he does that. Why does when they do the old TV screen,
you know it's the penalty? Yeah.
Why? Because he ain't said it confirmed, it means.
Because if they go, no.
I always go four words.
Yeah.
He never plays syllables. Along. Never plays along. Got it. Well, we are talking about, obviously, Eddie Nketiah.
Let's get on to Arsenal.
Staying at Arsenal. Let's keep it on Arsenal. Not just the refs and VAR. Talking all about the players and Arteta's impact so far. Love Sport. You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Joined in the studio with Gunners Tan, Charlie Easton, Chris Howard. Well, we was just getting into a very fiery debate all about the referees and VAR, talking about that Sheffield United game. Could have Pepe had a penalty? VAR and the refs deemed it no, but what are you making of it? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Going to be talking all about the Chelsea game. Ollie Salt will be joining us a little bit later to give us that Chelsea opposition review. It's a big one, and so does Arteta think that, because he's saying it's a must-win game. The pressure is on the shoulders of the boys. But before that, this week, obviously, Eddie Nketiah obviously played on the weekend, looking like Bristol City was on the cards, nearly done. Arteta apparently intervened at the last minute, Chris, and here he is, he's staying with us.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, it says to me that he wants cover because he's obviously looked at the situation and thought, like, there's a few people that have said, oh, that means Lacazette. So I don't believe that for a second. But I think he's looked at the situation with Aubameyang and thinks it only takes another injury to Aubameyang, and then, you know, I've got one striker and that's it. You can argue that Martinelli could potentially do a job, but if you're moving Martinelli into a centre-forward position, then he's not able to play wide forward. So you still then, you know, you're losing yourself a body. So I think it makes sense. I'm not sure how much game time he's going to get, though, because he might play against Bournemouth, maybe. Maybe he's going to get a shot against Chelsea.
I think you'll find him coming on virtually every game. The way Lacazette's spent at a minute.
He might play a role in Europa League as well.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing. I don't think you can have too many bodies. I mean, I think if we weren't playing at Leeds, what's the point of them getting back, which they have done? And no disrespect, Bristol City, all right, we need someone to cover, because exactly what Chris just said. And if it happens to Aubameyang or Lacazette, we're banging trouble going forward. I think Pepe could play through there, Martinelli could play there, but then you lose width. Because I think our main problem at the minute now is the creativity in the middle.
Well, lack of goals. We've lost Aubameyang. The next highest is Martinelli. We'll get on him and what a signing and talent he is. We've really unearthed the gem there. Brilliant, brilliant player this season.
Pepe's looking better each week now, you know.
I really agree. The worry is Lacazette. I don't know if he's lacking confidence or what it is at the minute, but he's completely gone off the boil. And I know people said he's looked better under Arteta, you know, much of it. I don't know if I fully buy into that.
No, and I don't. And I think he needs one come off his arse or something. He needs something like that. And I'm hoping there that's tomorrow. I'm hoping that's... He needs something just to come off him. Lucky goal.
But we need that, don't we, as a team?
We need
something to galvanise the side.
We seem to have had a lot of rub of the green? Is that
Chelsea
thing?
Chelsea haven't looked that good at the minute. So
yeah, but that worries me even more, because I just think just when they're not going well, we go to the Bridge tomorrow night. And talking of going to the Bridge tomorrow night, we should have beat them at home in the Emirates. We all know what happened in that final 15 minutes or so. Arteta did a conference today saying that this game is must win. And I know all games against your rivals are must win.
Because
if we don't get that, then what are we talking about next week and the day after? Because you know, you said it was must win and we lost. Didn't win it.
Yeah. We'll be talking about Bournemouth. Into the next round of the FA Cup.
Charlie makes a point then, doesn't he? When, you know, Chris, him saying must win, because we knew it was must win without him needing to sort of use those actual words.
Pressure.
Must win? I don't know. Aren't we now into the longest pre-season that we've ever known?
Because
let's be honest, we're not going to get top four. I think even Europa League is going to be a challenge.
I'm deluded that I think we can win the FA Cup or Europa League.
I've had it.
I love it.
I've backed it.
No, but that's why this is what I wanted to ask, because
40-1,
we still think we can do it.
I'm telling
you. Please bet responsibly. and that's what. Why do we do it? Because I watched Sheffield United obviously on the weekend. I'm thinking, I can't believe that we've bought in. I thought we was going to turn them over, and now we're going, we could do the double. You know how many games we've won in it? 6 out of 23. But I take that 40-1.
Only one in the cup though.
Yeah, there you go. Please. I'm beaten this year, as you rightly pointed
exactly,
out, Charlie.
Mate.
But it is a worry, Chris,
from Mikel's army.
Again, I think Mikel Arteta has been playing with a hand tied behind his back with some of the players that he's got.
He's playing, still probably get a game.
He's playing an 18-year-old left winger as a left back.
He's looked excellent.
He's looked very good.
Excellent.
I mean, he was once or twice out of position on Saturday, which then meant Xhaka was being pulled in, which then means Xhaka isn't into that middle space able to find a passing lane. So, you know, we had a few issues there, but that's what's happening because we've got so many injuries. If we had, and this is why I don't understand why this January we haven't gone properly hard for a right back, because I don't think Bellerin's going to be fully fit by this, you know, at any stage this season at this rate. So,
what can we get? Because you reckon we're getting 25 for Kolasinac. So, what can we get for Bellerin on your prices?
Another 20 odd. You know what I was going to say something here as well, which really infuriated me. I've heard people, Mustafi done all right Saturday. No, he didn't. No, he did not.
He was all right.
No,
he's sitting up for this. This is his business, Chris.
I'm telling you, a couple of times.
I'm getting a bit
scared.
He
made last ditch tackles and clearances.
He's pointing his fingers.
Right, I'll tell you now, he's making them last ditch tackles because he was out of position.
Charlie, step away from the mic. You're going to start chewing on it in a minute.
I'll tell you now, as that man even still at his football club is a joke. And Arsenal media release all this, he's getting abused on social media. Good. Okay? That's what I say to that. Good. And I've got people on Twitter last week going to me, these are the sort of fans we don't need at Arsenal. Rubbish. This guy, we've tried getting him out left, right and centre. And because he's on 100 grand a week, don't want to go. He's happy to sit on the bench and do nothing. I can't stand the geezer, all right? And I don't want to see him anywhere near this football club again.
Right. So the important question is, because you were sitting on the fence there, how do you really feel?
I'm just
captain.
And you know what? He's going to play again tomorrow, isn't he?
Because
Socrates is still ill, so he's going to be there again tomorrow. Mm. And I'll guarantee you, Tammy Abraham will stay right away from Luiz, who I think he's been excellent lately, to be fair. He's probably the player I think.
I don't know about excellent.
I bet Luiz has been good. They've all been good. He's been amazing.
I think him and Torreira are the two that
I can never feel confident with him, though. I know what you mean. He has stood out.
And
he's been a leader, but he's got a mistake in him.
Tomorrow.
And I can never ever fully trust
someone.
Tomorrow
he's going to stand up. And that guy, Sambridge, he's going to get booed. He'll stand up tomorrow and be counted for.
I tell you what we do need.
Big game player.
And I wrote down what I think the team might be tomorrow.
Get him out of the team and all. Rubbish.
Is Mesut Ozil. He had a first few games with Arteta in, we saw an improvement in work rate. We saw a player that was finding space in between lines and he looked decent. He wasn't that great at the weekend.
Rubbish.
He wasn't that great against Crystal Palace.
Don't great,
and you
nothing.
Just wonder if... Yeah, well, that's the big thing, isn't it?
Mesut Ozil used to be the assist king.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the positives, not the negatives. And one of the positives
has the same amount of assists as him as Ozil.
All right, well, let's talk about one of the positives, and that obviously is Martinelli. What a player this is. I mean, no one really expected the impact. Obviously, the money we signed him for, you know, we thought, obviously, his age going to be on the fringe. He's really into the four at the minute. And this is a player that potentially, we I don't want to say we have a superstar on our hands, but we have a real product at the hands of Arsenal, don't we here, Chris?
Absolutely. £6 million.
That don't get spoken about enough for me.
No.
Today's market, you could easily, you know.
What's amazing about Martinelli is his energy levels are great. He really doesn't care that he's 18 years old and he's been thrown into the first team. I think the way the club have evolved his playing time has been good, because let's face it, at the beginning of the season, he wasn't anywhere near... Well, actually, he came on, didn't he, for the Newcastle game.
But
he wasn't
getting to a few games here or there.
But now we're now getting to the point where he's becoming an integral player. He scored on Saturday. He has to play tomorrow night.
Oh, he will, I think.
You know, he's got 9 goals this season. We've got Noah Aubameyang. Lacazette isn't scoring.
Yeah.
Martinelli has to be one of the first names on the team
I totally agree with that. And it's been... I mean, Edu has found him or knows about him because of the Brazilian connection. Mm. And he has been one of our, I think him, Saka this season.
Saka actually, just quickly on that, apparently saying he won't mind trying to transform to left back, change his position and learn. Yeah.
Fair play.
No, but also in the future, who knows? Maybe this could be a change for him.
One thing he did get a lot of criticism of memory. Mm. One thing you have to praise him for. He had brought through the youth this season. Mm. He did. He started Saka playing a lot of games. He had the bottle, didn't he? Played him Old Trafford away. He started him left wing. Played really well, didn't he, as well, Saka. He brought Willock on. You see Willock a lot.
Sheffield
first game
United
of the season,
away,
he had Reece Nelson and Willock starting. Looked brilliant, two of them. Martinelli come on. So
I think that was a club strategy,
players,
though, as well, wasn't it? I mean, clearly,
but ultimately,
by
the manager picks the players.
Yeah,
the manager picked the players.
And what about Reece Nelson? He's obviously a big loss.
He's out for a while, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and Arteta's saying that this is actually someone he thinks could be a star for Arsenal, because he's shown in his shorter time there that he's one of the ones that does want to work at it, you know, and work at all the things that Arteta has kind of sold the players on.
I think with Nelson, though, as well, what he's good at and the reason why Arteta likes him is because he's one of these players he's a give and go player, isn't it? Get me the ball to me, I'm gonna you know, forward progression to me, I'll touch the ball off and I'll go. And that is the sort of player, particularly a wide forward, that I think Arteta would love.
Yeah,
because that ability to go from front to back very, very quickly and rapidly, get in behind, you know, he's got the pace. So if he can hone his skills a bit, like, you know, what happened with Raheem Sterling and his evolution, you know, it could be exciting.
I mean, back to Martinelli, I think we've got to be quite excited about him. And my only worry is, if we're not performing, how long do we have him for? But you're going to get your money out of him. But obviously, we want to get the best of him first. I'm sure any young Brazilian kid, any kid from South America...
Well, they keep saying that he's got a chance to be called up by Italy. He's not made a decision yet.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I did read something the other day about, we've got a bit of an issue in February next season. Or this season, I mean. You've got the Brazilian under-23 qualifiers for the Olympics. And as a Brazilian kid, that they take the Olympics really seriously, don't they? That's
really
a big
seriously.
Big thing.
Yeah.
And it's not a FIFA recognised competition. So if he gets given picked, and Arsenal can say, no, you ain't going. And at the moment, I can't see us letting him go. We need him. Mm. And that could...
Well, maybe there might be open that he does want to play for Italy then. If that is true. I read that somewhere. Yeah. I don't know if that is true. Martinelli is
saying... I can't see Brazil letting that go, because he looks a real deal.
Yeah, of course
and,
not.
But as a South American kid, you know, their dreams are all to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona. Mm. Every South American kid, they grow up watching that sort of stuff. They want to play for one of them clubs. So eventually he's going to want to go to them sort of clubs. So we just got to try and get the best out of him before then.
Well, yeah, or sign him up to a nice long deal and then get absolutely mega bucks for him. Like, if you think about it, if we can get 4 or 5 years out of Martinelli and tie him down to a long contract, and if he's done the business...
Fair play.
Then, you know, you're talking about...
100 million.
100 million pound player. We're projecting here, to be fair. You know, this is a guy
my
that's
transfers,
paid...
My transfers, 250 million.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mm. You as his agent.
Yeah, well, who knows what happened? Are you in charge of it? Well, we know what the boys think of the Chelsea game, but someone now joining us next said that's what he thinks, and I reckon he may just have a slightly different opinion. Love Sport. That's right, it's time for the opposition view on Love Sport. You're listening to the Arsenal Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a fiery and energetic Charlie East and Chris Howard from Gunners Town. Let me tell you, they're not mad on this opposition view. They can be a little bit fiery, so you have to come prepared. You have to be prepared to die on your sword, and that is why there is only one man for the job. It is Ollie Salt from the Daily Star now, ready to give us his opposition view. Massive game, Ollie, obviously, tomorrow night. A London derby clash at Stamford Bridge. Arsenal will feel like they should have beat Chelsea at the Emirates a few weeks ago. Chelsea losing to Newcastle on the weekend. It's got the makings of a classic. Arteta saying Arsenal, it is a must-win game, heaping the pressure on those Gunners players. But what are you making of it, Ollie?
Arsenal will be determined to get revenge for that defeat, like you mentioned, a few weeks ago, just before the new year. And that was such a disappointing day for them, considering how well they started the game. But Frank Lampard made a tactical tweak in that one, brought Jorginho on. And in the end, you probably would have said Chelsea deserved the point. But it will be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night, considering Chelsea's late defeat at the weekend. That was a real blow for them. But they've tended in recent weeks to raise their game for these big occasions. And that's what makes it so interesting tomorrow night.
Hi, it's Chris here. I don't know if you've heard, I haven't seen anything of Frank Lampard or what he's been saying about the game tomorrow night, but do you think that, has he said anything specific about that tactical change? And do you think that has there been any hints that he kind of has seen what Arsenal do under Arteta now that it's had a few games and he's got a plan in place?
I'm not sure about tomorrow, but I think from that game, he started with Kovacic and Kante as a two in midfield, and they were just completely being overrun in there. It was probably that opening 30 minutes at the Emirates was probably one of the worst performances they've put in under him. Bringing Jorginho on and putting an extra man in that midfield suddenly gave Chelsea control of the game. But the thing is, Lampard is chopping and changing his team so much at the minute. Jorginho didn't start that day, brings him on. Now Kovacic can't get back in the side. So it's unclear what midfield he's going to go with tomorrow, but I would be surprised if Jorginho isn't in from the start, considering how much of an impact he had on that last game.
Ollie, Charlie here, mate. What sort of reaction do you reckon David Luiz will get tomorrow? Maybe he'll get booze, or will he get a little welcome back?
It's a tough one. I don't think he'll get booed because he's had two seasons at Stamford Bridge, or two different spells at Stamford Bridge. He's, a Champions League winner with us, a Premier League winner. Of course, moving to Arsenal is never going to sit well with the fans. But no, I'd be really surprised if he got booed. But then again, if I was him, I wouldn't expect the warmest of receptions wearing Arsenal colours.
I know when Peter Cech come back, he got a hero's welcome and give you the Europa League last year. So I'm hoping Luiz don't do the same.
Ollie, obviously we mentioned that Mikel Arteta said it's must-win for Arsenal, and obviously every game's must-win for every team, especially when it's Chelsea versus Arsenal in that London derby. We know what Chelsea are trying to achieve this season, but they have had a little bit of not a barren run, but a little blip of late, but they are still up there the way the league's going. Spurs dropping points, Arsenal United all dropping points on the weekend. But how big is it that they win tomorrow as well? Will that damage their season if they don't?
I'm not sure it will damage their season. It's a good opportunity to put a marker down, really, and say that Chelsea are here to stay in the top four. I think if they were to not win tomorrow and Manchester United win, I think they can close the gap to, I think it'd be three or four points. So it's important that they do win to really keep that gap there. But teams in and around that position, United, Arsenal, Tottenham, all dropping points, and that's probably the only reason that Chelsea is still in the position they are, because they've been so inconsistent in the last month. They beat Tottenham, then lose to Southampton, beat Arsenal, draw with Brighton, now lost to Newcastle the weekend. So really, it's only because of the inconsistency around them as well that they're in the position they're in. But winning tomorrow, I think it's a more of a must-win game for Arsenal just because of the position they're in. But of course, Chelsea, I think a draw wouldn't be too bad for Lampard.
I'll take that now.
Yeah, it's not a must-win for us. We're in pre-season now until next year, so it's fine. Ollie, is there anything that worries you about the Arsenal team that will play tomorrow, given that we don't have Aubameyang, or are you just relatively confident that Chelsea will do the business?
That's I think a huge help for Chelsea tomorrow, Noel Aubameyang, that he's the talisman up front for Arteta, for Arsenal. But at home, Chelsea have struggled to break teams down at times. If Arsenal can put in a good defensive performance,
sorry, I got and Mustafi tomorrow, mate, you'll be all right.
Yeah, well, if I think under Arteta, it's looked, I don't know if you disagree, but it's looked like defensively it hasn't been too much of an issue. He looks like he's tightened things up a little bit. Even when you played against us, you know, it was a mistake that that brought us back into it. So I think that's the main thing for us. If they can frustrate Chelsea and stop them from scoring early, then I think the game will favour them the longer it goes on.
What you just said there about defensively, I'm not just saying it because you're here, and I mentioned it earlier on the show, David Luiz, since Arteta has come in, I think has been our standout player. He's really even things before the game, they're doing this little huddle thing they do now, and he's doing the team talk. Even when he's not the captain, he took a real leadership ownership on something, it looks like, since Arteta has come in, which has been good for us. And I mean, when we signed David Luiz, I was really happy with that, to be honest with you. I thought it was a good signing. So
on the cheap as well, wasn't it?
No, not great. I'm hoping, and I'm sure he's got something to prove tomorrow, but I'm hopeful that we turn up.
Yeah, well, we're hoping we turn up. Ollie, I know you'll be thinking differently. What is your score prediction for tomorrow night?
I'm going to be boring and say a 1-1 draw. I think it's got a draw written all over it.
He can stay on.
Yeah, you can stay on, Ollie. They're very fickle. They don't invite many people back, but they'll take a point. Ollie, we'll look forward to chatting to you once more. Ollie Salt, they're always good to have him on from the Daily Star. Saying 1-1.
He's terrified. He's terrified of the Arsenal.
1-1, I'm not sure he is. Let's turn it on you two, Chris. How do you think this one will play out tomorrow night?
I think it'll be a 2 or a 3-1. I can just...
To Chelsea.
Do you know what? In fact, it might even be a 2-0 to Chelsea. I can't, do you know what? It's just, we're not scoring enough goals. We're not creating enough chances.
I ain't
losing to them.
The Steffi last minute.
And then you will be so fickle next week.
No. I'm having a 2-2 draw tomorrow. 2-2
draw.
Lacazette get a score sheet tomorrow. I think we get a penalty or something, something like that.
I think it'd be just deja vu. We'll start really, really brightly for half an hour. Chelsea get one back.
Yep.
And then they'll go on and win the game 2-1. And we'll be talking about, weren't we great for 40 minutes? And it was just, it's the same old this. What I mean, we just need something new.
I'm all looking forward to Bournemouth next week. I think FA Cup. I think let's go and let's have a good result next week.
Well, let's quickly talk
Bournemouth
about that.
Bournemouth have got no players by the sound of it as well.
Bournemouth, the league's in their priorities at the minute, is that game.
10 losses in 12 for Bournemouth. They're not going to be... Well, they might be focusing on that Monday night game, but you would think that they would rotate because Premier League safety is all they care about. We could see a weaker side, although that maybe might work for Bournemouth because their A-team isn't getting it done at the minute.
I see an interview with Eddie Hearn. Eddie Howe.
That would have been interesting to talk about Bournemouth and the Cherries. What's he got to say? Matchroom getting involved down at Dean Court. Unbelievable. Yeah,
he took another little fight of AJ. He just looked so defeated. And he sort of said, we're trying everything.
I can't work any harder, which I thought as a Bournemouth fan, I don't know if you want to hear that. But are you expecting, obviously, I'm assuming we're not going to see you next week, but you're expecting progression into the fifth round?
I'll go down next week, I would hope so.
I'm here.
I'll be going down the next week.
My main man, Chris. That doesn't bode well. Last time Chris was here before a game, we know what happened.
I haven't got the 75,000 away points to get a ticket at Bournemouth.
Tell you what, do me a favour next week. When I say the starting lineups, give us a call. I'll give you a call down there.
Yeah, you've said that before, and then you've no-showed us. We know what you're like.
I've got a couple of beers.
Yeah. but we're expecting, obviously, a strong team then next Monday.
I think we go all out in both cups now. Arteta knows how much the FA Cup means to us. He won it twice as a player. I think Arteta goes and win a trophy in his first season. That's a big pressure off him. Huge.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? You think...
And if he can make the Europa, then we've got Champions League next season, so happy days.
So we're winning and we keep Aubameyang.
Yeah, it could be an interesting one, obviously. So you're both... What are your score predictions quickly then for next Monday night?
I'm going to go 3-0.
I think 3-1 because we always will concede, but I still think 3-1.
I think we're going to win Pepe. I think we'll play a proper team next week.
Yeah, proper team. Obviously, an interesting one then. Well, this has been the Arsenal Fan Show, as it is every Monday. Next week, Chris will be back here. I'm sure there'll be a mountain of problems that we'll need to get through. Charlie will be at Bournemouth. We're going to be speaking to him if he decides to answer us. Who knows? The beer will be flowing. Hopefully, the points will be flying also against Chelsea tomorrow night. And then Bournemouth progression in the Cup next week. We will see you at the same time as we do every Monday, 7 to 8, right here on the Arsenal Fan Show on Lovesport Radio with Charlie East and Chris Howard.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Lovesport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Lovesport Radio on Twitter.